really matter because we can match this audio up later.
Yeah, I have the gain as high as we'll go, so.
Yeah, are you picking up anything on the gain at all?
Yeah.
Useful?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start in 20 seconds.
We actually hear audience questions with it sometimes. It's better than
yeah.
passing around.
Well, the audience questions will be coming down to me on a piece of paper, and then I'll read them out.
Perfect.
And in 5, 4... Wrong panel. Good morning and welcome to the PGCon replication panel. I'm the moderator, Dan Langell, and if you look at the people on the panel, you'll see why we need a moderator. Some of them, Jan, need to be moderated. How we'll work this is I will give each person on the panel a minute to answer the question. We have 6 people on the panel, 1 minute each. There's only 60 minutes in an hour, so if they go much longer, they're not very good at answering the question. You all have pieces of paper. I'm going to ask the first couple of questions each one. That gives you time to listen to their answers, write down the question, and forward them down to the front. And as they're answering the first set of questions, I'll read your questions and figure out what to ask them next. Panel members, you'll be given the mic. Speak into it so it'll get recorded. It'll match up with the beautiful video that we have, and then we'll go from there. Basically, the first question will be, well, it's more of a statement, you know, what your name is, what replication you recommend, and why you think it's best for your situation.
My name is Marco Crane. I'm from Skype. I represent Loendiste here in Skydus. It's all obvious from that what I recommend.
or you can say why you recommend it, like why. What
you didn't ask that.
Oh, yes, you did.
You can basically say, we use this replication system because it meets these particular needs. You know, basically, we need replication for this, and this is why it meets it, and why your replication system is so much better at solving your problems than other replication systems. You know, a little bit of animosity never helped. You can start again. No pressure.
My name is Marco Crane. I represent Loendiste here, and we wrote that to be more easier to use as Sloane, and to be more robust than Sloane. At that moment, at least. So, that's it.
That's fair enough. Yeah, 1 minute, Jan.
My name is Jan Wieck. I currently don't recommend Sloane, at least not in the currently available tarball formats. The current CVS head is much better. We are working on getting it out this year in a totally rock-solid form. And the reason why I recommend it is that it, from the feature set, is the most comprehensive one.
My name is Tatsuo Ishii, working for PGPO, and I'm the author of the PGPO also. And the reason why I recommend PGPO is it's a synchronous replication, and working well is another replication tool such as Sloane. Okay.
Hi, my name is Heikki Linnarangas. I'm here to represent streaming replication and hot standby in 9.0. The cool thing about that is that it's all built in. It's easy to set up once you have while archiving set up anyway. It's very easy to take into use. It easily replicates your whole database, your whole cluster. You don't need to fiddle with, you won't have trouble replicating DDL, for example, as you do with some other tools.
I'm Greg Mullane, the maintainer of Bacardo, which is an asynchronous multi-master and master-to-slave replication. So obviously the use case for that is master-to-master replication, which is the reason that we wrote it. We had a client that needed that. But it's also really good at doing master-slave as well. It's almost as good as Sloane, I'd say. Better at some things, not at others. We do support truncate triggers, for example, in the current version. And yeah, as long as it's asynchronous, we're trying to take out any of the competition we can.
My name is Gavin Roy, and I wrote a system called Golconda, and it's not so much replication as it is data distribution. The idea is using asynchronous message queues, you can ship data transactions from Postgres to other Postgres servers with the same schema or different schemas. Our use case specifically is taking legacy schema and shipping that to new servers that have different schemas on them but use the same type of data.
Who's written up a question and wants it to be asked down here? Nobody has questions? Oh, yeah. Here's a question. Thank you.
So write down questions and pass them down.
Write down questions, pass them down. We won't read out your name unless you want it to. All right. The question for each one of the panelists, and we're going to start at the other end this time. What is the biggest current problem, bug, or limitation you are working on fixing for your replication project?
None. We're basically running in production and haven't actually touched the code in probably 8 to 12 months. So happy with what we're doing right now. It's specific for our use case, but we opened the code. I think the biggest issue that we see with it moving forward is moving or making it more able to speak with different types of message brokers. So right now we only speak the Stomp protocol, and we're looking to move to AMQP, potentially some other protocols beyond that, based upon our issues with ActiveMQ as a message broker in production.
Bacardo has no bugs, but our biggest limitation thing we're working on is DDL triggers. Right now there's talk of putting something into 9.1 that will allow that to happen automatically, but like Sloane, it's a very manual process. It's just applying it to the master and slaves right now on Bacardo. Bacardo is very fault resistant, so you can in theory not even shut down Bacardo, just apply your changes on the slave, you know, and the master. It might fail, but Bacardo will just keep trying until everything matches up again. But that's our biggest problem at the moment.
So the build-in replication in 9.0 is obviously very new because we haven't released it yet in a real release. There's a few known bugs, but we'll get them ironed out before the release. Aside from that, we'll see what people come up with when they actually take it into use. And then there's also the query conflict problem, which you can handle, and there's options to deal with that, but it's probably going to bite some users in the beginning before you get used to it.
I'd like to enhance PGPO so that working better with synchronous replication, streaming replication. As I said, PGPO can work with another replication systems. Obviously, streaming replication is very new, so I'd like to make some change to PGPO so that it works well.
For Sloane, the biggest problem is like for Bacardo replicating DDL. We have some support in there historically for making sure that the DDL is injected into all replicas at the exact same time as it is in the data change stream on the master. That had been historically biting many people due to implementation problems. That is cleaned up in 2.0. But looking forward for the future, I have on the developers meeting committed to implementing DDL triggers, and I hope that we can use them somewhere in the future to make that whole process completely transparent.
Londist alone works quite well, but we have a problem with this infrastructure that consists also of PL proxy and PG bouncer, and we have a problem of dynamically enlarging the partitioned databases. Currently, we need to build whole cluster with on larger number of servers, but we would like to do this dynamically. We have now a couple of ideas how to solve it, and we'll see how far we get.
Thank you. The next question is, how do you coordinate push DDL changes?
What was the push?
Coordinator push, like if you have DDL changes, how do you do that under your replication scheme?
In SkyDOS 2, there is no explicit support for DDL pushes, so you need to do this manually with some scripts. In SkyDOS 3, we have special DDL events that are applied on master and that then also put into the queue and then they flow to the slaves.
As of Sloney 2.0, DDL can be applied manually directly to any of the databases. Sloney explicitly supports schema differences as long as it's not a difference in the set of columns between the nodes. So one can, for example, install triggers or views and other functionality on a replica so that it's only there. Sloney also has a support command that basically takes a user-written DDL script and executes it inside of the replication stream so that it guarantees exactly the execution inside where this schema change happened on the master.
PGPO supports DDL changes from the day one. So no problem at all.
So the streaming replication in 9.0, it's based on while shipping. So you get all the DDL changes along with any other data changes automatically with those. You don't need to do anything special. It's always the whole cluster that's replicated.
Bacardo does not push DDL changes at all. The canonical way is to shut down Bacardo, make your changes everywhere, start it back up. Because we only store the primary key, that's generally not a problem. As far as the old changes being applied to the new DDL.
And with Golconda, it's not really the premise. It's actually kind of a pain to make schema changes or push DDL changes because, again, in our use case, we're taking one table that may have five columns and we're changing it into another table that may have two or may have 10, and we actually have to write custom mappings for the transformations that take place within the engine. If you're using the auto SQL functionality where it says the schema is the same on each node, then you would have to shut it down, basically stop the consumer code, and make your DDL changes statically or manually, and then start things back up again.
The next question is more of a general question and may not be, probably isn't appropriate for each individual panel member to answer, but is there a replication solution that provides a hot standby that can also be used as a read-only copy? If not, why not? Anyone in particular want to answer that?
As far as hot standby in the meaning of synchronous, I'm not aware of anything that does it, except for PGPool eventually, because it does synchronous replication. But that would be multi-master and not anything different there. As far as hot standby in an asynchronous fashion, I think everyone here does it.
There is Postgres R.
Is that recommended for production?
I hope that answers the question.
The next question is, what additional load is added by your replication on the master? So what additional load is added to the master based upon your replication solution?
We write the change events into append-only table, which is quite rotated quite often. The additional load is quite minimal.
From our experience, the load, which is induced similar to Londiste or almost identical, consists of approximately 15% of the write load. So if you have a normal application that has a 20 to 80, 30 to 60 a balance of writes to reads, you add 15% of that write load, so you end up with some 5 to 6% increase in load. I don't think that is really significant.
Because PGPO is synchronous replication, the overhead is relatively high. For example, for live queries, we need approximately 30 to 40% of load for writing. Okay.
So streaming replication is based on the while files we write anyway, so there's very little CPU overhead on the master. What you do get is some extra network overhead because you're shipping the while over takes some bandwidth. So that's the biggest load we put on the master. But in terms of CPU or I/O, there's really it's insignificant.
Picardo works pretty much the same as Sloane and Londiste in this respect. We have triggers that will write to an internal table. We haven't measured, but I imagine our load is probably relatively the same.
I'd say that Golconda probably uses the least amount of load from everything out here because we're using an external message queue or message broker, and as opposed to Londiste and Sloane, for example, and possibly Picardo, where all the messages are being inserted into a Postgres table and then right out of that Postgres table and shipped across to the other server and inserted. We're actually just making a TCP call, you know, dumping the data across somewhere else. One of the interesting things about the hot standby and streaming is there's going to be less of a load in 9.0 when you're using the streaming feature of that as opposed to the current implementation of while log shipping where you're using an external shell command, rsync, SSH, to get that data across the network.
Thank you. The next question. What new features or hooks in the Postgres backend would help you the most?
Getting repetitive, doesn't it?
You can be very honest here.
Except those TDL triggers, we don't need anything from backend, actually.
Yeah. DDL triggers, obviously. I have one other thing on my plate, which is exposing the transaction commit order of the cluster to the user space. And at that point, I would like to work together with Marco implementing a completely new message queue that is based on the transaction commit order and possibly a more lightweight transport protocol as well. But that's definitely somewhere out there.
PGPO has its own SQL parser, but actually it is stolen from a Postgres code. And it's a pain if Postgres changes a major version. So it will be very nice if Postgres exports its parser for external use.
So the built-in replication is, well, built-in, so it doesn't really apply.
We'd also obviously like DDL triggers. We also are looking forward to 9.0 since they've redone Listen Notify, and should make Bacardo and probably Sloane a lot more efficient.
BDL triggers, obviously, yeah, what Jan said. That's about it.
Thank you. The next question is, how easy is it to switch masters? Are you planning on improving the tools to do so?
In Skydos 2, it's pretty hard. Or it's doable, but you need to do it basically manually. But in Skydos 3, we have support built in, so it should be okay, I think.
For Sloane, transferring and switching master roles had been a design goal for 1.0. So it does not only support switchover in a controlled fashion, as well as failover if the node, the master node, goes hard down. It supports switchback. It supports to do this switching back and forth between different major Postgres version numbers. And in no case of all these will Sloane ever abandon a node that is still available and consistent. So it definitely does inheritance of the remaining cluster if you propagate a new node to master.
Actually, I'm not sure how to answer the question because the PGPO has no idea of the master. Each DB nodes are completely equal, actually, and for users, it's not visible which one is a master or not.
Dan? Dan, are we taking user questions?
Not yet. So for the built-in replication, to switch, so it's easy to switch a standby into master, but if you want to switch a master back into standby mode, you basically have to take a new base backup. You can use something like rsync to speed it up, and there's no fundamental reason why we couldn't address that, and I surely hope we will address that in 9.1 and build some tools around that. Yeah, that's a bit of an issue, but I hope it will get fixed.
So Bacardo runs in two modes. Obviously, in master-master mode, switching the master is just pointing to the other box instead of the one you're currently at. Master-slave, there is no support for it. It wasn't one of our design goals, like Sloane. So it is possible, but it's still a very manual process. And, yes, we do hope to automate that or at least document it in the future.
Again, not apples to apples, but for us, the design goal was to be able to move to a new schema eventually, while keeping all of our schemas and databases in sync. And so for us, it's changing client code and stopping a consumer.
Thank you. Question number 8. Is there a way to standardize and reduce the number of replication systems and focus on making the subset more efficient, robust, and versatile? You have 5 seconds to think about it. Four, three, two.
It's a herding of cats, like they say.
It's a difficult question. Certainly, what we have to do, and as said previously, I would like to sit down with Marco and with Greg as well. When we have new features in the back end, to come up with at least a common transport protocol. All our replication systems have slightly different use cases and target audience, I think. But I can imagine that it makes perfectly sense, for example, to have Londiste nodes inside of a Sloane cluster. There's no reason why this should not function, except for the totally different communications protocol they are using now, despite all the similarities, yes, for some reason.
To be honest, I don't have any a technical idea how to unify all the clustering replication projects. But I think we have had the first clustering meeting last year, and in the cultural sense, we are focusing on get together to get more better and unified solution in the future, I believe.
So we have three different architectures represented here today. We have trigger-based systems. We have PG pool, which is, again, very different. You have a front-end server, and you replicate the commands to all the servers. And then there's the built-in replication, which is based on while shipping. So I think we're going to always have these three approaches, but I don't frankly understand why we have three trigger-based systems, which all look pretty much the same when you look at the architecture.
To answer your last part, Bacardo was written for master-master, and that's why that exists, and Sloane wasn't used. But even our master-slave implementation is fairly different than the way Sloane and Lundis does it, and it addresses a different use case. In this case, a system that's not necessarily highly available, nodes can go offline for a long time. As far as getting rid of some or narrowing them down, yeah, I don't see that either. There's always at least going to be asynchronous versus synchronous.
You could roll them into the same product, though.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, the hot standby is actually a good thing, which will probably draw a lot of use away from Bacardo and Sloane and Lundiste once it gets into place. And I think we're all fine with that because it's a better solution overall. There'll still be cases where Bacardo and Sloane are more useful. But as far as any of them going away, the only thing I could see is maybe Sloane and Lundiste merging at some point. But other than that, no.
You're the closest in theory, though.
Well, I think that there's a interesting development with the built-in master-slave replication, albeit to a single node in 9.0. And I think if that expands out to allow multiple target nodes, then the trigger-based master-slave replications really have a lot to work for to be as good and work as well. The multi-master is an interesting scenario where Bacardo comes in and has strength that we're not going to see that go away for a while because, as far as I know, there's nothing really being planned or actively worked on to add multi-master replication into Postgres in the core. It's a completely different beast, and it's a lot more difficult to tackle. And so even though it's written in Perl, Bacardo's going to be around for a while.
Now I'm going to ask you all to imagine the impossible and the improbable. All copies of your particular replication system are gone. I'm not talking about the replicants themselves. I'm talking about the software. Your software replication system no longer exists. Which of the other solutions would you recommend?
Streaming replication.
I think I would join the Lundis team and make it as complicated as Sloane.
For the benefit of the people listening on audio, who is this team?
This is the Sloane team.
I recommend streaming replication.
Yeah. It really depends on your use case. Can't tell, possibly. It could be PG pool if you want synchronous replication, if that's going to help you. Or it could be one of the trigger-based ones. I couldn't choose between them because I don't really know them that well.
Yours doesn't exist in production yet anyway.
Yeah.
For Bacardo multi-master, probably Ruby rep, which purports to do the same thing. And for the master-slave, probably Sloane.
Again, kind of being the odd duck here with not exactly the same use case. PGMQ, it looks like it's very interesting, and I'd probably go down that route.
I like that question. Oh. how can I move from using DRDB to replication-based failover? In particular, what process should I use?
Is this DRBD synchronous or asynchronous? Or I think it has different approaches based to configure. Probably streaming replication is the closest. Probably streaming replication is closest to that, I think.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, that streaming replication at this point, because it works on the binary level like DRDB, it's definitely the closest, and streaming replication can certainly be coupled with heartbeat mechanisms and things like that. The only thing that I'm missing in streaming replication at this point really is a clearer way to limit the amount of time that the replica can fall behind without kicking out long-running queries. And slave inheritance on failover. Because for me, it's really essential that in a failover case, I'm not running without a backup. That's the other backup server, the backup. And streaming replication at this point simply doesn't have it. While DRDB, I think, has the capability of duplicating that file system to multiple destinations and inherit that.
If the user uses DRDB with a synchronous mode, if he switches to pgpool, there will be no problem because pgpool 2 is a synchronous replication. If he uses DRDB with asynchronous mode, there should be many choices, maybe a Throny or streaming replication, whatever he likes.
So yeah, so streaming replication in 9.0, it's asynchronous. So if you're using DRBD in synchronous mode, then that won't be the same thing. But if you're using it in asynchronous mode, then streaming replication would definitely be closest to what you're doing today. It would replicate DDL and so forth in the same way. What Jan said about slave inheritance, that's true. There's nothing built in into stream replication to handle that stuff. The assumption is that you're going to build tools around it to using like a DNS failover, things like that, to redirect your slaves to the current master. Or you need the Heartbeat and Stonith and support like that. So those tools are real, probably. People will write those tools, I'm sure. We'll have them.
So the question was how. I don't have much to add to what Jan said, except download 9.0 beta and then keep bugging people to get the production one out there before you have to drop DRBD.
I can't add anything to that, really, other than to say that it also depends on the use case, right? So if you're using DRDB and you're still using your primary node and the second node is just purely for backup purposes. The nice thing with HOT is you don't have to use it as a read-only slave running your production workload. You can just use it to say, am I up to date? Is everything good? And use it for health checks, which you can't do with warm standby right now.
Thank you. The following two questions relate to multi-master replication. How are database collisions resolved? And do you recommend it for replicating between geographically remote locations?
This is a question about multi-master, not some specific replication solution.
Just pass it on there.
I think
if it doesn't apply to your solution, say pass.
We don't support multi-master yet.
Same here.
PGPool doesn't support geographically different places where each Debian node resides. So I will pass.
Yeah, built-in replication, there's no support for multi-master, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. Regarding multiple geographic locations, I don't see why not, but again, it's not multi-master.
I think this question was mostly for me. So, conflict resolution in Bacardo, there's a few built-in ways. You could say server A always wins, server B always wins, the last transaction by time always wins. Pick one at random that wins. But generally, for things that have a conflict, and that's basically the same primary key is changed on both sides, you have ability to put in some business logic through Perl subroutines, and those subroutines will be passed all the information it needs. They figure out what to do based on your business logic, and they report back to Bacardo what should happen. Either this side wins, that side wins, neither side wins because we've already made the changes ourselves. Geographic locations, Bacardo was actually built for that reason. The multi-master that it was designed for was between two very flaky networks, so it handles that pretty well.
And Golconda was also somewhat built for multi-data center geographic diversity. From our perspective, one of the things we use it for is warming databases in other clusters or other service areas. Built into it is a two-phase commit-like ability where if something fails down the line, it will roll back everything all the way up to the top and then take that message, the failed query, and all the traceback information and put it into an exception queue. And then the idea there is you could use a different consumer with logic to figure out what's going on and go from there.
Thank you. That's basically the end of the general questions that I have. Does anyone have random questions to ask? One right here.
Hold it close. In regard of the last explanation, why would you roll back the whole set of servers if the purpose of the replication is to have the replicas everywhere, and if the one that failed, you just degenerate that one.
Sure. In the case of, a scenario, let's say it's user registration data in our end, where something is causing, we developed it as primarily a migration tool, and so in that case, we want to make sure that our destination is actually up to date with the primary. And if it's not, then something went wrong. We programmed, you know, the conversion script poorly, something's going on, and we want to be able to go back and fix it. And at the same time, we don't want to get out of sync because our system's not a replication system. If we're out of sync with our host, any attempts or all attempts to get back in sync are manual. It's basically, I write a script and figure out where the differences are and go from there.
Are you actually using two-part?
Not right now.
Next question. How will PG 9.0, which has some core replication technology, how will this affect your solution? Will you make any changes to pull that in, or will your solution continue to maintain relevance or continue to provide unique added value?
It was about streaming replication, as I understand. Then it solves different use case than ours, so it still is relevant.
Streaming replication from a use case standpoint is slightly different than Sloane. In streaming replication, there is absolutely no chance to have any difference in the data or the schema or any functionality on the standby. Sloane specifically was designed around that possibility to have triggers firing on the slaves, to have, for example, your full-text search engine only being maintained on the slave. To have different views, other schemas, eventually have the schemas of two master nodes or origin nodes. It's not really multi-master, okay? But different tables residing on different servers being replicated into one server and then doing data warehousing there. So streaming replication takes away from Sloane those users who simply say, I have a server here and I need a copy there. And that's a 100% no exceptions copy. Those users are certainly better served with streaming replication because it's way simpler. Yeah. Whenever you want to do anything else where you really need slightly different application support on the slave, I think you're much better off with Sloane still.
Actually, PGP will welcome the 9.0's streaming replication because it will expand the PGP's market, I mean. PGP has an interesting feature to cope with another replication systems. For example, PGP can work with Sloane 1. It's called to provide load balancing and switchover functionality. It's called in master slave mode. I will add another slave master slave mode for streaming replication so that PGP can provide the switching and the load balancing functionality as well.
I'll pause.
pretty much the same as Jan's answer. There's definitely use cases for Bacardo and Sloane because we can do just part of the database. Bacardo can also manipulate the tables on the fly as they're going from master to slave. But we do welcome it because it is going to replace some Bacardo instances, and we're fine with that. And that's just where people want to, you know, make a copy of the database completely, and it's read-only. So, you know, it's fine with us.
I'll pass.
Thank you. This will be the 14th question in less than 45 minutes. We're doing well. What is the maximum number of servers your replication has supported in production in one replication group? A pause for station identification.
In what sense, in one?
As in some way, the same set of shared data.
Well, as you know, we use partitioned database, so we don't have like one master and a lot of read-only slaves. We instead have multiple read-write masters, partitioned masters. So. And we, this is done with PL proxy. So, and then Londist will be used to replicate this down. We have like some 30 server of clusters. I think there is like 30 servers in one cluster in one shared data that is later replicated in some single database. I think that's it.
Well, Chris, you correct me if I'm wrong. I think at Aphelios we have clusters with 5 or 6 nodes at the maximum. Yeah, that's what we do. Okay, so Chris said typically clusters of 4, 6 is the max that we have at our site. I do not know what the maximum number is out there in the field, what users have. Sloane has built in the ability to cascade subscribers, as we call them. So your slave servers can operate as data providers again for more nodes. All that induces basically on the original master is that he has to hold on to the replication log for a little longer until the last node that is a receiver gets the data. But I think with that architecture, configurations of 30 to 50 nodes are quite reasonable. And one interesting aspect is there that one can bring up new nodes in a cascaded fashion and then switch them around between different data providers. That goes completely on the fly, and so one can switch the network load between nodes at will. And the data between one node and the next, from one provider to the next set of systems, does not have to be duplicated over and over again.
For PGPO, the number will be slightly different as a different use case. For master slave mode, I believe the maximum number in production, in my experience, was up to 20 DB nodes. We have 20 DB servers replicated by Sloney One, and each DB server was load balanced by PGPO. And for if you use PGPO with replication mode, I recommend to use three servers. It will give the maximum performance and the reliability with my experience.
So built-in replication is new. There's zero production installers anywhere as far as I know. I sure hope not. So, but there's no theoretical limit on how many standbys you could have. And if you're using a while archive and while-based shipping, there's very little overhead on the master. We'll see how many people find useful.
Don't you need a wall sander on the master?
Yes, for the stream replication. But
take up a backend slot?
It does, but there's no practical limit to how you can save that.
Bacardo also supports cascading slaves, and I know there's some people using it, but I don't know what the maximum production limit is. But we also support mixing and matching of masters and slaves, so I think the largest one I know of is there's a master-master system. One of the masters goes to another slave for data warehousing. The other master goes to four other databases that are read by a web application. So that's kind of master-master and five slaves.
Our largest is one master node with three destination nodes. Theoretically, if you're not using the ability to roll back, it is basically your tolerance for eventual consistency. So you can continue to add nodes. Because of the way that the protocol works, you can specify multiple message brokers via IP address, so you can conceivably have 10 message brokers and 30 databases or 50 databases. It really depends on your workload.
Thank you, panel members. The next question. What do you consider to be practical limits with your replication system with regards to the following two parameters? Transaction rates, basically transactions per second, and gigabits or gigabytes per second.
I mean, it really depends on the money that you throw at it.
Right, the Postgres capabilities run on a single box is your
transactions per second is going to be directly proportionate to your maximum transactions per second on your individual Postgres node, and that is highly dependent upon your schema. So there are so many variables in that question, it's a hard one to answer. I can say at my yearbook, our highest transaction rate box would hit 20,000 transactions per second. And when we were running Sloney on that box, we saw a significant amount of overhead. And it was one of the reasons why we moved off of Sloney early on. And, things may have changed by that point. But, again, it's extremely dependent upon your hardware, your schema, and your network. You know, you're talking about gigabits per second. Well, if you're on a 1 gigabit network, and you're really moving that fast, you're going to saturate your pipes, and that's going to be an issue. And then what happens when you want to do PG dump and take a backup of your database? Then you're really screwed.
And with PL proxy, you are not limited to the limitations of one machine. So in that case, there is really no limit.
Well, there is actually one limit, which is the number of inbound, outbound socket connections that you can make outside of a PL proxy backend, the single backend.
Only one person.
No, that's fine.
Note that they have multiple microphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can do that. The next question. What do you think Postgres's advantages are against NoSQL approaches, for example, MongoDB, CouchDB, to achieve scale out and scale up, respectively? For the benefit of those not in the audience, everyone is pointing at Gavin.
Could you repeat the question?
I can. I'll rephrase it. Consider Postgres versus NoSQL, for example, MongoDB or CouchDB. When your goal is to achieve scale out or scale up. I really want to insert the, what is it, Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. I really want to insert the Jeopardy. Do, 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 do.
Jingle. Yeah, start from the other side.
Nobody really? You guys attended my talk? No. It's, you know, interesting. You mentioned CouchDB, and I'll start there. CouchDB, I think, was really the big kickoff in the NoSQL world for document store databases. And even though it's written in Erlang, which holds the promise of being a highly scalable language implementation, I found that the throughput, the transaction rate, and the latency in using CouchDB to be something that made me pass up using it in a production environment. Mongo is kind of the opposite. Mongo took the great ideas from Couch, and they implemented it in a very fast way, which, if you attended my talk, includes running with scissors. As a matter of fact, when you don't want to have when you want to use fsync to guarantee consistency, there's a special command line switch that you have to run to do so. But even the Mongo team says, you know, one server does not give you durability within Mongo. I think that's a little dishonest because I think two servers doesn't give you durability with Mongo in a Murphy's Law scenario. How do you scale Postgres? You know, the everybody up here is scaling Postgres in different ways. Personally, I think that Skype has done a great job in building out SkyTools. We use it extensively at MyYearbook. It is the one key that has allowed us to scale. So PG Bouncer, you know, it's the same message that I feel like I say a lot. Reduce your inbound connections. So you want to make sure that Postgres is operating with as few backends as possible. And that's number one rule for scaling. Idle connections are basically a very fast death in scaling in Postgres. Partitioning your data. So yes, it's not one-to-one to the way that Mongo does things, but using PL proxy or your own front-end partitioning scheme, sharding your data across multiple servers allows you to scale that data out. And using a single, or in our case, and I think Skype's case as well, multiple PL proxy front-end nodes. So what you have is a nice grid-like system where you're hitting, let's say, four PL proxy boxes that are hitting the same pool of, let's say, you know, 20, 30 servers on the back end. The promise of NoSQL saying that I'm going to scale, I'm using NoSQL to scale out, is really, it's taking the scaling concern from the DBA and it's pushing it onto the developer. And that's an interesting proposition, but once you reach a certain size and a certain scale, the DBA is a really important role because the developer has lost interest and moved on to something else. And I say that as a developer. You know, nobody wants to go back and figure out what went wrong. Where Cassandra, which wasn't mentioned, is interesting, is their approach to scaling is to build a hash ring. Voldemort's a hash ring. Cassandra basically is the idea that inside of the database, you can keep adding commodity nodes and it's going to rebalance your data. But that's still sharding. It's just invisible to the user.
You can have my time. Keep going.
Okay.
Anyone else want to talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's more about your application architecture. So if you take Postgres and you use it as a key value store, like NoSQL databases typically are, and you don't use sequences or anything else that cause problems when you scale out, then it's easy to scale out Postgres too. So it's really up to, I mean, if you put yourself on handcuffs, then that will restrict you to do stuff that will be easy to scale out. So if you try to, it really depends on your application. That's what I'm saying. Postgres scales very well on one server. So if you just want to buy a bigger server, Postgres will take advantage of that up to, we do that pretty well. I don't know how well the NoSQL databases do that, because I don't think it's ever been their goal. The philosophy is to scale out rather than scale up.
This being the replication panel, I think we should focus on looking at the problem of scaling out from a replication perspective. And in my research, and I have done a little bit of research about things like multi-master and all the replication technologies, the one thing that replication alone cannot scale is write load. You can scale read load with things like Boccardo, Londiste, and all the things here on the panel, basically pretty good when it's just read load, read-only load. When it comes to write load, Postgres does not support distributed storage. So the whole write load goes to every single node, and that simply does not scale beyond the point of one server. It can't. There is just that limit. And if you look at it then, that you want to go into distributed storage, you basically either impose huge problems in consistency, because now you will have nodes that share some data, which is required for consistency checks, but not every node has all the rest of the data. So how do you check for references and all that? It imposes huge problems, and I think all the NoSQL solutions try to skim that problem layer off by just removing it and moving it into the application, like you said. And that only goes to so much complexity. Yeah, and then you introduce problems in your application design and everything. So I don't think this is really comparing apples to apples, the whole question.
At least we have managed to scale the write load also with plproxy. And the main thing is this applies to both NoSQL and now Postgres, that if you accept some compromises in your application design, you can do this horizontal partitioning and scalability. But now there is a problem that the NoSQL camp has actually better infrastructure for that. And now on the Postgres side, we are catching up to them. But if you do manage to catch up, then this Postgres has the advantage of clean separation of this data storage and the data logic. We can have quite more logic on the database side than this NoSQL, and that is the plus of the Postgres, but there is some work to do.
Anyone else? Okay, it's 12:30. I want to thank the replication panel for their help in this effort. It's much appreciated, but I think everyone's kind of hungry and thirsty, and it's lunchtime, so. Thank you very much. The next talks are at 1:30.